Kicking off hour number two in the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. You're listening to Three and Out. Houston Kress alongside Davey Hudson. Production assistant Julia running the ones and twos. Little Aerosmith for Run DMC Mix. You know this song?
This is just the Aerosmith version. Walk This Way, yeah.
I like the mix a little better. That's just me. This was the OG, though. 865-546-8200 is the number if you want to join us. Philly, we are honored and blessed this morning to have Philly decide to join us as Tennessee prepares to take on Colgate at 2:45. We go to Philly now. Philly, good morning.
Well, thank you, guys. It's nice to get a pleasant introduction when I get rudely cut off on the afternoon show.
That show don't take care of you like we do, Philly.
Guys, y'all talking about this Alabama job. It's Alabama's been a big thorn in Tennessee basketball's side.
It is weird. Like, they're not good, Philly, but they give us a lot of trouble year in and year out.
Yeah, and when they had CM Newton and Wimp Sanderson, they were probably the second-best basketball program in the SEC behind Kentucky. But, you know, once they've had their last three coaches, they've kind of slid in that, you know, land of mediocrity. And also, you look at it, the reason why I saw something on TV about this about 2 weeks ago. The reason he's on the hot seat is the three main rivals for Alabama in basketball are Tennessee, Auburn, and LSU, and they got swept by all those games.
Oof.
This year.
Yeah. That'll do it.
Yeah. I mean, but it's a good job, and that is a pretty talented roster, so it wouldn't take much for a good coach going there and rebuild that quick.
Yeah, and Davey was just mentioning, I mean, they've got a pretty good, recruiting list right now. You go hire a decent coach, bring those guys in. I mean,
all those players have signed their letter of intent, too, so you'd have to
released. Yeah, they're locked. And I'll tell you this, like, Philly, like, I didn't think Andy Kennedy was a terrible coach, but look at the job Kermit Davis did just like that, flipping Ole Miss with the same roster. I mean, that was a talented group and just a style change and a little bit of a culture change, and Kermit Davis got him right into the tournament.
Yeah, and you look at it, the coaching's important, and that'd be Buck Pearl's worst nightmare for Alabama to get a good basketball coach.
You'd hate to see that, wouldn't you, Philly?
I've got mixed emotions on Buck Pearl.
Fair enough. I think most people do, especially, when you're watching him coach against your team.
Yeah, and he pretty much owns us. That's what's so bad about it.
Yeah. It's like we jumped out of the gate against Pearl at Auburn. What was it, Philly? I think you split the regular season, and then you waxed him in the SEC tournament. You thought, okay, this is going to be just fine. And since then, he's pretty much gotten the best of you in big ways.
Yeah, Rick Barnes owned him at the first of Pearl's tenure, but they've won like the last three in a row on us.
Yeah.
And once he's gotten his guys in there.
And two out of those three were just really, really bad. That one in Knoxville last year. I think Tennessee had like a 19-point lead early, and then Auburn just cruises in the second half and wins by double digits. The game in Auburn this year was, better. I mean, you still lost it. And then obviously that SEC championship on Sunday was a nightmare.
Well, I think y'all have got a little basketball background. I think what Tennessee's problem is they're one guard short, and they don't have a five-man. If Tennessee had that, they'd be a legitimate national contender for this ball of wax. That's why I'm scared that we could be at any time from the, after today on. I mean, because we're just, we're too up and down.
When you say guard short, what do you mean by that? Like, off the bench, or you think one of the guys that we got isn't good enough?
Well, it's probably a combination of both, but you look at it, we haven't really replaced James Daniel III, and he was just an average player.
I think they've tried to get Lamonte to do that a little bit. It's been a little bit of a struggle at times.
Yeah, but, they were playing less minutes last year than they are this year, their starters. And James Daniel could at least play some defense and hit a three every once in a while, and Jalen Johnson has not come to the table to do
it. No.
Really hasn't been much of a much contribution out of him at all.
He can shoot, but man, I've said it, Philly, it looks like his shoes are about two sizes too big. Like, that guy's feet just stick to the floor.
And speaking of a big guy, guys, I love Kyle Alexander, but I think if we can go out and get a good five man, we'd upgrade ourselves inside if Grant Williams stays, which I think that's 50-50 if he leaves or goes or stays.
Philly, have you heard much about DJ Burns? Like, I know he got in here and needed to, like, really shed some weight and kind of get in shape, but, like, are they optimistic about him? I haven't heard much at all. Obviously, he's redshirting this year, but.
I hope so. I mean, the clips I've seen out in high school, he looks like a, you know, mini version of Zach Randolph. But, I mean, that's a good high school competition.
Yeah.
But I don't know, guys. I just hope we can get to the Sweet 16 and, you know, who will we play then, Villanova or Purdue?
Yeah, likely.
More than, yeah.
What do y'all think about these games? It's been really, the games have been fairly decent, except for a few blowouts here and there.
Yeah, I mean, the games were good. I didn't think the matchups, I guess name value-wise, yesterday were very good. I like today's slate a lot better. But, I mean, I was surprised. I mean, 13 of the 16 favorites on the seed line won yesterday. You had a few close ones, but the higher-seeded team was able to kind of pull it off, and the upsets were, you know, Murray State waxing Marquette, Florida holding off Nevada, which, I mean, I know a lot of people really like Nevada, but Florida just got hot there for a little bit. And what was the other one, Davey? Was it, oh, Minnesota over Louisville. That one surprised me.
That surprised me a lot right there.
I liked Louisville, Philly. I liked them early in the year when I was kind of previewing them before Tennessee played them. And then I really think they broke during that Duke game. You're up 23 in the second half, and Duke sure does that in your place. They have not been the same team since.
I wonder if Daddy Patino had anything to do with that loss.
I'd say he scouted a little bit for baby boy.
I'll tell you what, it's a good tournament if the Big Blue and the Dookie boys go down in flames.
What are your thoughts on PJ, Philly? That's a pretty big story. Probably the biggest story of the tournament.
Might beat them without him. I mean, all honesty, I mean, Kentucky's not bad, but you take your best player away, it'd be like taking Grant Williams away from Tennessee.
Yeah.
See you, guys.
See you, Philly. See you, thanks for the phone call. Did you see Cal last night said it's a guess as to whether or not P.J. Washington will play tomorrow? That's not exactly like confidence instilling.
I mean, even if you're somewhat optimistic, like only having a hard cast on for like a day and a half.
I was about to ask that question. It's like, so we have some people in the medical field who listen to this show. We're obviously terrible at that. Like, do you put a hard cast on for 2 days? Like, is that a thing?
I've never known anybody to do that from all my time covering sports.
I mean, isn't that what the boots are for?
Yeah.
It's like essentially the same thing, but you can take it off. Couldn't he put a boot on and still ride around in that scooter? Seems like a lot of overkill.
Oh, yeah. I see people do that all the time.
Strange, man. Bad news. I'm with Philly, man. Like, Wofford, they start draining those threes. I don't know what that does to, I mean, really with PJ out, I mean, it allows you, if you want to just throw Reed Travis down low and get another guard in the game to match up with Wofford, but you're sacrificing a lot of offense and easy points by not having P.J. Washington on the floor, not to mention Reed Travis still kind of dealing with his own injury stuff as he comes back from that sprained knee, although I thought he looked healthy enough in the SEC tournament. But that's a big one. As far as, you know, off-the-court stuff, that's probably the biggest story of this tournament so far, because that was such an – when that news dropped, like Tuesday night?
It was late into the action. Like, I think the –
Or Wednesday, maybe?
I'd already watched all the first four games. Like, I knew a Kentucky fan who he didn't message me about it, and he's usually on top of everything there around yesterday morning. So, like, even he got to it fairly late.
I guess that's right. It was yesterday. So it was before – I mean, it was their game day.
Yeah.
Because it broke – I guess it broke right after our show. So they hard-casted him – day before yesterday, announced yesterday, all that stuff. Man, I just...
Unless something dropped Wednesday night?
Well, they mentioned that he hurt his foot.
Yes.
But yesterday was, he's out for the first game, and he's in a hard cast. Yeah. And then yesterday, he shows up to the arena with a leg scooter.
I didn't see anything as far as the hard cast until Coach Cal made his comments.
I need to know what a hard cast means. Like, I know what it is, but, would you do that for a day or two? That just doesn't seem to make any sense.
It doesn't. I'm trying to think. Kentucky had this happen a couple years back. I want to say the player was Jared Vanderbilt, to where he went out like towards the end of the SEC tournament, and they thought they'd have him back for the NCAA tournament.
Did he get back? I don't remember that. I want to say he did not, but I could be wrong. It's a big storyline. I mean, you hate to see it for him because he's going to make, you know, a lot of money. I'm assuming he's done after this year. I think he's late lottery pick to like 25 is kind of his range right now.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't think he'll go in the lottery.
No, I don't think so either, especially not now. I mean, this is kind of tricky territory. But I think, I mean, isn't that kind of Grant's range, maybe not late lottery pick, but kind of in that like 20 to 30 range? Hasn't that been where Grant's kind of shown up?
Yes.
I mean, if you had your choice for an NBA player, who are you taking? 100% healthy. PJ, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this guy's going to make
at least as far as potential and athletic ability.
I mean, I love Grant. He's a fantastic college player, but translating to the NBA, he's a little bit of a tweener. Like he's a little bit short and a little bit slow to do, you know, like he's too short to be an every night inside man, and then he's not quite quick enough to be an every night, like, you know,
I mean,
Swiss Army knife.
Yeah, PJ's also this season shown that he's able to hit the three very consistently.
Yep.
So I mean, it's really hard to be an NBA player unless you're like 7 feet tall and can hit a three. Or at least, I mean, I know Grant's at least taking more of those opportunities as of late.
I think he's gotten better as the season's gone on. I'd love to see his three-point percentage over like the last 15 games. I feel like it's been much better than it was at the beginning of the year. If he develops that shot, he's, at least in the college game, like for next year or something, if he had that, like, wide open knockdown three every time, he'd be an absolute nightmare, as if he's not already. I keep teasing that we're going to preview Colgate, Tennessee, but we are up against the break. Should we do that next now? But really,
yes.
Do it? It's really not our fault. You know, like Philly called in with some great points and Avery Johnson is about to get fired. Like things are just happening.
I mean, something's probably going to break between now and when we come back in 3.5 minutes. But yeah, we can say Tennessee versus Colgate's where we're going.
We'll do that. Segment two, hour two, next, right here on 3 and Out. Segment two, hour two, 3 and Out, this game day edition brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. All year they're celebrating 85 years of service to East Tennessee, and they want to be your credit union. They're local, they're East Tennessee based, they're approachable. No judgment, no shame, no problem too big or too small. That's what sets the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union apart. I'm a member. Do you know that? I can go to meetings. Vote. I'm gonna do it all the time.
Do they have like free coffee and stuff for you to have whenever you like go in?
Well, when we went, they had like cookies. We got these glasses. They had other snacks. It's a nice place on the inside. What I liked
it's a
about
nice glass.
It, yeah, you know, you could put orange juice in there.
Celebrating 85 years.
85 years all year long. Next year will be 86.
It's true.
Just
tell math.
So that glass is only accurate for a year. Unless it has the actual year on it, which I don't know if it does or not.
I mean, you can kind of turn a 5 into a 6, like get a Sharpie.
Yeah, we'll go get some teal Sharpies and make that happen.
But going from the 6
teal
to the 7, that's
that,
difficult.
It makes it tough. Makes it tough. Okay, we've promised Tennessee Colgate.
Yeah, nothing broke during the break, or at least that I'm aware of yet.
Interesting. Billy Williford, stat man, on point. Grant Williams, in SEC play, 6 of 21 from deep. Not great. But he's
John
6.
John Wick 3 trailer did come out.
Get out of here with that.
I'm just kidding.
Stranger Things 3 trailer came out.
It's pretty good.
Except that Bob O'Reilly. Did you like that?
I liked it.
I didn't like it.
We can get into that later.
Yeah, later. In the last 15 games, Grant Williams 6 of 18 from 3. This is he was in the first 10 games of the season, he was 7 of 15. I don't even remember him hitting that many early in the year. Maybe it was because the teams were junk until you got to like Kansas and Gonzaga.
I guess he would have been wide open something percent because I thought the scouting report on him for at least the early part of the season was just let him stand out there not going to shoot it. And I guess just being wide open, he finally just decided to start taking them. And I mean, if you can hit 7 of 17 from 3, not a bad day.
Not when you're him.
It's what, 46%?
I mean, he's 37.5% on the year. I'll take that. You know what he was last year from 3?
I'm not even going to guess what.
12%. 3 of 25.
3 of 25.
He's 12 of 32 this year. I mean,
yeah,
not,
so I can
I'm
see
sorry, this.
This
year he's 34%. This is weird. As a freshman, he shot 37.5%, 12% last year. 15 of 44 this year. That's 34.1%. That's really still not that bad, especially for a big man.
7 of 17 was 41%.
Okay.
I was a little off on that.
A little off. Mass hard. We're not a math show. That's not what we do. Hopefully we don't need any threes from Grant. It seems like he has to take threes against the really good teams, specifically Kentucky. I know he had two in the first half in Rupp. That game was a nightmare. And then he had the big one late in Nashville on Saturday. Hopefully we're not needing a lot of Grant Williams. Is this a game where maybe you can get some guys some seat time? Are we thinking it's possible that today we get some seat time? That we see the Brad Woodsons of the world make an appearance?
You really do hope that is the case.
Line currently, Tennessee by 17.5. I mentioned this to Davey off air. They did gain another 10th of a percentage point, up to 95.2% favorite, according to ESPN's Basketball Power Index. If you were wondering if Tennessee's going to switch up the starting lineup today, they're not. They had to send the five guys to the podium yesterday. Lamonte Turner was there, and then the guy introduced them as Tennessee. I can't even say the mistake. That's how good I am. But he introduced them as Texas. And then immediately you could tell got as embarrassed and awkward as I've ever heard anybody on a microphone. Good start, right, guys? How do you do that? Hasn't it been long enough now where you don't associate Rick Barnes with Texas? Or did he just see UT and orange and say, that's Texas? Because that makes me mad, too.
Actually, that is the perspective, though. Like, I mean, that's the hill I'll die on. Like, I mean, Tennessee is the first UT. Like, the school was before the state of Texas. But
I didn't want to get into it, but you're absolutely right.
But, I mean, nationally.
The University of Tennessee existed before Texas was in the United States. It was magical.
Nationally, I'll go out. Like, if I've gone out of state and it's not like a southeastern state and they're like, oh, where did you go to school? I'll be like, oh, I went to UT. And they're like, oh, you went to Texas. I was like, no, I went to Tennessee. And so then, of course, I will give them the history lesson.
I hate it so much. So, so much. I mean, it was like a long time. Like, Tennessee became Tennessee, the university. And I think there was
1794.
I think there was like a 60-year window before Texas was a state.
Texas was a state in the 1850s. So, yeah, it would be 60 years.
We got a 60-year head start, and they get UT. Also, did you see that Texas is lightening their orange? Have you seen that?
I didn't see that.
They're brightening
their whole thing.
They're brightening the
orange.
No, but I think they see how good we look in, you know, just the pretty orange. What, like, does our orange have a name? Like, they're burnt orange, or are we just orange? Good orange. I mean, obviously, it's, you know, PMS 151, Pantone matching system.
Yeah.
If you know about paint, just orange.
Yeah,
traditional.
I don't
orange.
Think there's a. I mean, okay. It's just. I don't ever hear somebody say, "Oh, that's Texas orange." They'll say it's burnt orange.
Burnt
but,
orange.
But for Tennessee, it's
Tennessee
orange.
Big orange, I believe, is what we call it. I'm good with big orange.
Texas statehood, December 29th, 1845. Little off on that one. So around 50 years.
I knew it was close. It had to be a pretty long time. What's your biggest fear for this game? That we just don't show up?
I'm not worried
that
about today.
Ivanauskas goes crazy.
I mean, like, I honestly, like, there's not an ounce in my body, even after that Auburn performance of, like, they're just being a letdown today. If anything, they'll come out firing on all cylinders, and they'll just shoot so well that they'll be, like, they'll be feeling good going into the game on Sunday and then come out flat whenever they play against Cincinnati or Iowa. But, no, like, I mean, I think Tennessee—
Okay, well, then what makes you feel good today? Like, I mean, in my head, I'm like, man, I'd love to have a Gonzaga, Kansas, Kentucky-type day where you win by 37 and all your guys get to play, but would you rather maybe have to play a little later in the game matters so that you're not coming out flat? Like, oh, this is our gym. We got this.
Yeah,
we
I mean,
make,
like,
we
I
make
would,
all of our
I
shots
I wouldn't
here.
Need it to where it's like Coach Barnes is having to give the speech of nothing's given. Like, you have to earn it. Like, you can't just show up. Like, you do have a target on your back. Like, I don't know what you boys are thinking, just— coming in here just not really putting forth the effort, which I don't think, like, the effort will be an issue today.
So what makes you feel good at the end of the day today? Like, winning by 35, is that, like, too much false confidence? Would you like 20-ish? Would you like to not cover the spread, like 15, 16, lower, single digits?
It's like one of those games where it's you're probably leading by, like, 25 for most of the game, and then they, like,
maybe they
end
claw
up
back
getting
into
it up
it.
To, like, 15, but I just cannot see them not being ready to play after they had their worst performance in the last 2 years this past Sunday.
I mean, they're saying the right things. I don't know if you've been checking on any of the quotes, but I mean, they're saying the, you know.
I expect them to say the right things.
They always do,
I mean, this
frankly.
Is a senior-driven team, or upperclassmen is probably the best way to phrase it. And so they've gone through the hoops. They know what it's like to be in this situation. I don't know. I'm just not worried.
No, that's fair. I mean, I'm not worried about today. I am worried about what today might do psyche-wise for Sunday. Because I'm with you. Like, I think if they come out and shoot lights out, score 100 or something, you know, hit 14, 15 threes and shoot a good percentage, do you go into the next one with just a little too much confidence? The good news is, obviously, you're going to have the day to, you know, rest. And if you're in a game like that, I don't think you're going to be tired anyway. But I don't know, man. Like, I think I just want a nice, you know, 20 to 25. Get out early, have some fun. It's always interesting. Like, you can tell the teams that are going to struggle early, and you can tell the teams that are going to dominate. Like, Kansas, Gonzaga, Kentucky, I think they all had, like, 3 or 4 dunks in the first 4 minutes, and you can just tell this is an athletic nightmare matchup for the other team. This one's not going to be close, and you're not going to have to run a bunch of offense or shoot a bunch of threes to do it. I'd like to see Tennessee come out and just look like the better team. The way they did in the first half of the SEC schedule.
Well, like, even if they're not hitting shots, like, I'm fine with that because, like, as far as the talent discrepancies or differential between both teams, it shouldn't really be an issue. But I just, like, actually want to see them get into their sets, and whenever they're moving the ball, like, you just see some effort there. Because you really didn't see it. They were just kind of going through the motions Sunday.
Yeah.
If they could even hold on to the ball to get into it.
I think the longer we get away from Sunday, the more I'm starting to buy that they were just gassed. Like, they've all kind of finally admitted it. Barnes said it. Like, I really do think that Kentucky game just took a lot out of them. I mean, the last 8 minutes of that game, I mean, that was a national championship type of feel. Like, that's how intense it was. And then you're thinking about that game. You're celebrating that game. Probably hard to get good sleep. And then Auburn's style is a team that never gets tired, never stops running. And then they, you know, break the tournament record for threes. I mean, if you weren't tired, you see a couple of those threes go in and you kind of get tired, you know?
Yeah, it's like even whenever you're hitting, they just come back and match it each and every time.
Every single time. It just drains you when you didn't have much in the tank to begin with. I mean, I guess selfishly, though, I would like to see Tennessee just get out by like 40. Like, really kind of send a statement, especially
Georgia
when...
performance.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people, not necessarily picking Colgate, but... You know, I think some people see what Colgate does. They shoot well from the three, and they're thinking, oh, maybe this could be one of those 15-over-2 upsets. There weren't any yesterday. Could today be the day where we see a bunch of that stuff happen?
Muhammad Sanu picked Colgate to win.
Well, that's just stupid. Someone did a randomly generated ESPN bracket last night on my timeline, and it had Colgate winning the national championship over Duke, I think.
Hmm.
Colgate.
Seems legit.
Yeah. Can't be a great omen.
I wonder what the algorithm is to get, like, percent chance of that happening.
I'd hate to even venture a guess. I mean,
you probably have a better chance of winning a
Powerball twice, probably.
Yeah,
like you'd probably be more likely to win Powerball twice. We'll continue this conversation on the other side. Stick with us. This is 3 and Out on Fan Run Radio. Back on 3 and Out, Fan Run Radio, game day edition of the program. Davey, this game feels kind of like the Mississippi State game in the SEC tournament. It's just kind of hard to talk about it. Not a lot of storylines, talking points. If Tennessee brings out a C-plus game, they're going to get a win.
Yeah, it's one of those where you know who you're facing as soon as the game's over. And so, like, for voluntary reaction today, like, I mean, I'm looking forward to listening, but I don't feel like, I mean, if you just take care of business like everyone is expecting and you tune in, like, it's just, we're just looking forward to the next game. Like, all right, like, we got Kentucky after Mississippi State. Like, everyone, like, the entire conversation just turns to that next game.
Immediately, right. Will Warren says he has a couple thoughts, I guess, on this game and some others. He said maybe the winner of Cincinnati-Iowa turns out to be a super scary matchup, but right now he's incredibly thankful Tennessee didn't get Wofford. We saw a lot of bracketology ahead of the tournament that had Tennessee facing off against Wofford in round two. Thankful that Kentucky gets them, especially now that P.J. Washington is probably out.
Yeah, Wofford and Syracuse were the two teams you wanted to avoid. And then, of course, Syracuse, their best player suspended
looking back,
indefinitely.
It's like, well, you wouldn't have had to worry about Syracuse. But I wouldn't have, we had Baylor on that list, too. Like, I didn't want to see Baylor because of their athleticism. And they're just a team that, you know, kind of streaky shooters. You don't want to see them. Wofford last night, it was early in the game, but they were at 1.44 points per possession early in the game. That's ridiculous. I mean, that is... That's two buckets every three trips, which is damn hard to do. Today, though, yeah, it's just, I'm sorry, it's hard for me to break down Colgate. They shoot some threes. They don't shoot a ton. They're pretty good at the free throw line. They do have some size. I think that'll probably surprise people. A lot of times, you know, when you have a one seed or a two seed and they're going up against the 15 or 16, you can tell the athleticism and just size mismatch immediately. Colgate's a pretty big team. Like, they've, what's Ivanauskas, like 6'9", 6'10", and he's a perimeter-type player. Like, that'll be an interesting... I guess this might be a good test to see what Rick Barnes does defensively. Surely to God, we don't switch everything against a team like Colgate. I know they don't have the speed, so maybe you do because they're not super quick the way Auburn is. But how does Rick Barnes handle ball screens? Because I'm sure you're going to see a ton of them today from Colgate trying to get shooters open, trying to attack the basket. But... I guess maybe that's one thing I'm interested to see. Although, frankly, if I'm Rick Barnes, I'm hoping I don't have to show too many plays on the play sheet today, offensively or defensively. Hopefully you can just kind of go out there and win with base. I don't know if you go zone against these guys and just say, hey, shoot it if you want, but you ain't coming in here.
You feel like there's a reason to need to work on a zone at all as far as potential matchups?
No, not necessarily with the matchups, but, I'd almost feel more comfortable – Like, I think our ceiling and floor are incredibly far apart when we go man. Like, we've had really good nights in man, depending on the defensive philosophy and then what the offense is trying to do on the other end. When we're switching every ball screen against a team like Auburn, it's a terrible, terrible night. And then we've switched everything against other teams and had fine success. I do think a zone, you're probably more in the middle. You're less likely to have something crazy happen one way or the other, but I think you could run zone all day today and win pretty comfortably. As long as you're not, you know, just leaving guys wide open from three and letting them attack the middle. So I guess I'll be looking to see what Rick Barnes wants to do defensively. Although, again, it's Colgate. Like, you shouldn't have to do anything crazy. And maybe they're going to want to work on switching all the screens. I don't know enough about Iowa, but if Iowa wins and they're a heavy three-point shooting team, much more so than Cincinnati, maybe you do want to work on switching everything. Maybe you want to work on communicating, you know, switching guard to guard, but not post to guard, which was a big problem against Auburn because you ended up with John Fulkerson matched up against Bryce Brown and Jared Harper multiple times, and it crushed you. So there, that's what I want to see. Get a win, obviously, but what does Rick Barnes do defensively against Colgate?
Did you see the report? I just now saw, but there was a report going around that Jordan Burns, the guard at Colgate, had missed the team plane.
Yeah.
Did you see this?
Yeah, it was the same guy who said that West Virginia's flight was like 9 hours delayed coming to Knoxville, and they weren't going to make it until like 2 hours before the game. It's a troll tweet guy, but it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
They asked him about that.
Yeah, he ended up reporting on it. Like, yeah, apparently the rumor was that he had missed the team plane to Columbus and had to take an Uber instead. And
800 miles, is that what it was?
Oh, gosh.
800-mile Uber, it would have been?
Could you imagine, like...
No one would ever do that. They'd get him on the private jet.
Well, I mean, like, there have been, like, reports of people who...
First of all, that plane would have never left without Jordan Burns, which is, like, hilarious that someone thought, did you really miss the flight? But I'm the team's lead scorer. Like, they're not going anywhere without me.
He said that wasn't true at all. Fake news. It's just a fake tweet. It's really hysterical. Great comment.
Great work by that reporter to really dig before asking the question. It's good stuff. Some lines for today. I'll just go in time order here. Iowa, Cincinnati. Cincinnati by 4.5. Your Texas Tech Red Raiders, Davey Hudson, 13-point favorites over Northern Kentucky. Kansas State, 4.5-point favorite over UC Irvine. That game tips at 2 o'clock. Tennessee, as I mentioned earlier, 17.5 points over Colgate.
That's 4.5 for the Kansas State game.
Mm-hmm. 4.5. They've been up and down. Like, they've beat some teams, and then they've lost some really bad games. I don't think you can trust Kansas State. They did go 25-8, though. Pretty good year for them. Virginia, 22. Has that line come down? 22-point favorites over Gardner-Webb. Buffalo, 4.5-point favorite over Arizona State. Arizona State, of course, got the win over St. John's in the play-in game two nights ago.
That is interesting because Bobby Hurley is the coach at Arizona State, and before he was at Arizona State, he kind of built up the Buffalo program. So he's going up against his former team.
Interesting. Nice setup by them. A little drama. There's one of your little dramatic, that's like a Patino thing with Minnesota and Louisville. Good for you. Congrats to the Duke guys. Wisconsin now only a 2-point favorite over 12-seeded Oregon. That's a 4:30 tip in San Jose. Watch out for that one. Wisconsin might get just absolutely shelled. Utah State, 3-point favorites over Washington. Duke up to minus 27 over North Dakota State. That will be really boring. Houston, 12-point favorite over Georgia State. North Carolina up to a 23-point favorite over Iona. Iowa State, 5-point favorite over Ohio State tonight. And in your nightcap, Virginia Tech, 10.5-point favorites over St. Louis. Other than Duke and Tennessee, any game, I'll throw out Cincinnati, Iowa, too. Other than those three, are there any ones that you're just going to be locked in on?
Locked in? Not really. I mean, everybody's probably going to want to watch to see if Virginia is able to beat a 16 seed.
Oregon, Wisconsin, for me.
I have Oregon winning that game.
I would, too. I want to see if Oregon can ride this wave. And I think that'll also be a really good test for the Big Ten. You know, I think everyone's still kind of, what is the Big Ten, especially after yesterday? Obviously, we'll get a taste of it at 12:15. We'll see Iowa, Cincinnati. Obviously, Tennessee with a win today gets the winner of that one on Sunday.
If, like, a lot of people might not have tuned in, even if you're just kind of like the casual basketball fan, the game itself doesn't really draw a lot of interest for me, but VCU and UCF play tonight at 9:40, and UCF has a player named, his name's Taco Fall. He's 7'6".
7'6"?
7'6".
How tall is that guy for Florida State? 7'7"?
No, this is a guy I was talking about.
No, Florida State has a really tall guy too, and I just remember seeing him on the court, and it was ridiculous. This guy's 7'6"?
Yeah.
Taco Fall?
Taco Fall. And
that's a fake name. That's not his real name. It can't be. Like, is Taco short for something?
It's spelled T-A-C-K-O.
I mean, so it's got to be short for something, right? Like, has to be.
Oh.
Had to make it easy?
Well, it's actually, I'm going to try to pronounce this.
Thank you.
Elijohi Taco Siringio Diope Fall.
Like I said, had to be short for something. No one names a kid Taco, just Taco.
Well, I mean, that is part of the name.
Part of it. I'm just saying, like, you can go by Taco. It's a good nickname. But also, I mean, somebody who's 7'6 is probably, you know.
Is raised in Senegal.
Yeah, I was going to say not from here. Kind of like Ivanauskas. Big guy, that name. Knows five languages. Probably not from here, even though he was, you know, raised in America.
He's a senior. But, no, it's like I kind of watched him, I guess it was UCF when they played Houston in the regular season. And, I mean, it's interesting just to kind of watch a guy 7'6" just, like, hang around the rim and guys try to come in and, like, really no shots are taken in the paint.
What's her name again?
Houston is showing me a picture of Taco Fall standing next to...
Who is that sideline reporter? Oh, coach, great job out there today, coach. Wow, what? That is... He's twice as tall as she is. And she doesn't even look that short when she's on the sidelines. Like, she stands next to Nick Saban, and I think she's about his height.
She barely comes up to the number on his jersey.
I mean, like, barely. And he's not even standing perfectly straight. This guy's ridiculous. 7'6". And he's an athletic 7'6". Like, he's not like a string bean, Manute Bowl-looking type guy. The guy looks like he can play a little bit. Huh. Dang. I just got sent some information. Apparently, the Odd Shark prediction is out. Tracy Woodson is that sideline reporter's name. Tracy, yes, Wolfson. I'm sorry. He said Woodson. That was my mistake.
I didn't even catch it. I mean, like, if you remember Kenny George, who played for UNC Asheville, like, this guy is, it's like that, but he's a whole lot more athletic.
So the Odd Shark predicted score of today's game is 76-71. I'm assuming that's Tennessee, unless they're doing it based on the order that the teams are listed. Would Odd Shark have it possible that Tennessee loses by 5 today? Does that seem fair? Does that seem right?
Those are current lines?
It's not. The line is still minus 17.5, but the predicted score is 76-71. Damn it. Are we sleeping on Colgate? Are we sleeping on Colgate a little bit?
No.
I'm just asking. I mean, a 5-point game. I said I didn't maybe want to win by 40. I don't think I want to win by 5. Talking two shots going in and we're losing the game?
The Patriot, like, I'm trying to think, like, has the Patriot League, like, ever won in the first round?
Wow. I can't get over this guy. Taco. Tracy Wolfson's getting, like, she looks like a 5-year-old gymnast next to this dude. Mercy. Sorry, that's, like, really distracting how tall that guy is. Why did you bring him up? I'm like,
you asked if there was any other things I was wanting to watch, and I was
game wise, you give me this like monster.
Well, yeah, because I mean that's like he's playing tonight, 9:40.
That's what you want to watch? Just him running up and down the court?
I was saying,
or is the game itself interesting?
I've watched him play before, but I was saying,
is he good?
If you're a fan,
is he good or just tall?
Like he's leading the league, like the nation, in a couple of statistics. I want to say
field
being goal
tall,
percentage.
That's not a statistic.
No, like field goal percentage.
Okay. Well, that would make a lot of sense.
It would make a lot of sense since you just stand out there and you just drop the ball into the net.
Apparently, Colgate is the first score on that Odd Shark readout. Odd Shark has Colgate winning 76-71.
That's great.
Why did that have to happen?
Oh, just as far as.
Why did I have to see this?
Well, while I'm here, I know Lehigh, they've won before in the NCAA tournament. They had an upset they were a 15 seed. That was 2000, it was either 10 or 12. It was the year C.J. McCollum played for them. So there's one example of a, did Bucknell ever win?
I don't know, I'm too worried about 76-71. And Taco.
Taco Fall, man.
I'm going to have to watch him now. Apparently, he started at Gatlinburg Pittman. This guy's a local.
Wait, what?
That's what Stephen Jones just tweeted in.
I feel like I would have heard about his.
Where's he from? Is he an East Tennessee man? Because if he's an East Tennessee man,
not,
I'm going to have to tune in and root for Taco.
Not talked about this. If
how many tacos tall is going, he? Like, if you stacked them.
Like, are you going with, like, the standard Taco Bell?
Yeah, you can stack it vertically. What is that like?
It says he went to 20? Liberty Christian Prep in Florida. The first organized basketball he played was in Houston, Texas.
Something.
He trained with NBA Hall of Famer Hakeem Olajuwon.
Makes sense. Did he play at Gatlinburg Pittman?
I mean, like, unless they came up here for a game or something.
No, I said
like,
he started for GP.
This is, I mean, I'm on his wiki page. Tallest high school basketball player in the country while he played for Jamie's House Charter and Liberty Christian Prep. I believe both those schools are in Florida. Due to his height and wingspan, Fall is one of the most highly scouted high school basketball centers in the country. At the Jamie House Charter School, that's in Houston. The prep school's in Florida. His team won the state championship.
I would hope so in high school if you have a guy 7'6". If you don't score every possession, there's a big problem. I got to see if this guy went to GP. We'll take a quick break. Come back. Final segment, hour number two. This is 3 and Out on Fan Run Radio. I have found the data.
This is just weird.
And then some. Stunning story, really. Taco Fall. Grew up in Dakar, Senegal. A lot of stops for this guy, I've noticed. lot of stops.
Yeah, Wikipedia only credits him with 2 stops at the high school level.
He was supposed to go to Christian Life Academy in Texas. That fell through. Then he bounced around over the next year from a charter school in Texas to Gatlinburg Pittman in Tennessee, where he remained for just a few weeks. Then to Faith Baptist in Georgia. He also visited some schools in Chicago and Kansas. Says, I'm confused. He said they lost a year of high school where they kept moving around. So does that mean he just couldn't transfer enough credits or be in enough classes? Like, did he play for GP? Did he take the floor?
Anybody listening have a footage or a picture? Because, like, if you go to a game and you see Taco Fall, like, that's a picture you're probably keeping on your phone, you know?
Yeah, 7-footer walking around high school. Yeah, I mean, like, people want to know. If he stepped foot on the court for GP, I'm rooting for him as long as they're in the tournament. He's a Tennessee man. I root for Tennessee people for the most part. Like Belmont yesterday, rooting hard.
I like how this reads. Fall comes from a tall family, you think?
Even if no one else was tall, like, he brings the average way, way up. So the family's just tall because of him.
This is going to, his father, his mother is 5'9" and his father is only 6 feet tall.
Okay, that's not a tall family.
It's not, but while his, two of his uncles are 6'8".
You know his dad is like, he missed that gene. He missed the tall gene. The brothers got it, and then he passes it on to Taco.
It says that his younger brother was reportedly 5'9" at age 7.
What?
That's what it says.
Can the human body do that? 5'9" at 7?
So it seems like a pituitary issue.
Well, that's the thing. A lot of guys that tall, that you can kind of tell, like, they look awkward. They're going to have knee trouble. He looks like a great athlete. He looks like he's built like a, you know, like a 6'10" forward you'd see at, like, Vanderbilt or something, but he's 7'6". And he's a Tennessee man. So I'm on board. Taco Fall, Tennessee man. I'm still, like,
I'm trying to go to Columbia on Sunday, and if they win tonight, like, I'll get to watch him play.
Did he transfer to GP, play 2 or 3 games, and then bounce again? This guy said he played. Maybe he just was there.
I feel like, stats. I mean, if you're only there for a couple of weeks, like, I feel like the ability to get clearance from, like, TSSAA is about damn near impossible.
That's what I was saying. They hate transfers around here. Like, hate transfers. I feel like I would have heard about it. Did you say Konza was in on him trying to get him to Tennessee?
How is that possible? It seems like forever ago.
It seems like he's way too old for that.
Brian Johnson tweeted at us that Konza.
Of course, I guess you would be on him really early compared to a lot of other bigs because, you know, he was probably 7 foot at age 12. So maybe he got the early attention because he was just so big. So maybe that would make sense that Konza could have been. Micah tweets in, okay, never played. They were set to play him in the Jamboree. He left before the season started because, quote, things didn't work out. There you go. Never played.
GP not willing to pay.
Well, I didn't want to go too deep, but Micah did say it was a money issue.
Oh, wow.
I don't know what that means. I'm just saying, like, you asked about pay, and I'm saying it could have potentially been a money issue. Maybe his family ran out of money, and they wanted to go somewhere else. But if you run out of money, it could be because you're not getting it from. I feel like the market for a 7'6" big man in high school, you know, one of those prep schools, like, probably pretty good, right? Like, don't we think IMG slides some money under the table to some of those guys?
Oh, we know they do.
I'm just saying. I mean, that's why Chris Winkie's on the staff, right? 7'6", Tennessee man, Taco Fall. What time's that game tonight?
9:40.
Oh, perfect. Fall asleep watching him? That'd be great.
If you want a really interesting stat, it says he faced fellow 7'6" single E center.
Come on.
Mamadou Ndiaye.
Mamadou Ndiaye.
Ndiaye?
I think okay. So. Ndjaye or
that's
something?
That's Diaye.
Oh, it might be. No, I still think it's Ndiaye.
Okay.
Mamadou Ndiaye.
And the tallest tip-off and matchup in U.S. college basketball history in a game against the UC Irvine Anteaters. I don't know if. So you had a 7'6" and a 2 7'6" guys going for the tip off.
How about that in the same game?
Is Ndiaye still in the league? No, he's in the NBA.
I don't think so. I'd say Taco's got a pretty good chance himself. 7-6. I'm excited to watch him play. I'm interested to see if he's any good. I mean, you know, rebounds and shooting percentage aside, like, can he move? Can he actually play the game? That type of stuff. I'm gonna watch some film during the break. I'm gonna watch some Taco film. We'll be back kicking off hour number 3 right here on 3 and Out next.